Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
It's Monday, June 27th, 2011. This is episode 14 of All About Android, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Aileen Rivera.
I'm Jay Hasten Howell.
Wow, and I'm Ron Richards.
Well, dang it, that was
not clean at all. You didn't go with the flow there, Ron. I couldn't help but notice.
Ron just paused. He's
you didn't
like,
stutter
really,
your name.
Did they really script their names?
I don't know what was going on for a moment there.
Jason was too kind.
No, you were like, uh-oh, Skype just hiccuped. Are we starting over again?
No, let's keep it.
It keeps us
original as we step over our name.
Live podcasting.
Yes. Hey, this week we're going to predict the state of the smartphone market in 2012. Jason has a new phone. We're going to reveal that and who won the bet, if we won the bet.
I feel like there's a bit of a swerve coming up here with Jason and the new phone bet.
I know. I can't wait to get to that.
Shenanigans.
There's a little bit of an asterisk involved, yes, for sure.
I modded my Nook.
Stepping into the mod community. I had a project
this weekend I'm very happy about. This week's arena is about backup apps. I had a song to sing, but I wasn't going to do it. I decided not to. I got afraid.
You got far more excited for backup apps than I've ever seen anybody.
Back it up, back it in. Let me begin. Sorry. Okay.
There we go.
I kind of lost it, and then I came back.
How did you know that that is the title that I've already selected? It's in Final Cut upstairs right now. Back it up, back it in. So I guess now it has to be the title of today's episode.
Nice.
There we go.
All right.
Good one.
How are you guys doing?
doing
it's
pretty,
Monday. I've like good. I'm loaded on caffeine right now, so I'm like, yeah, let's start the show.
Right on. Well, let's start the show. Let's get right into it. We'll go right on to news. iPhone, Android. Ron, what do you know?
Well, considering after our lively discussion on last episode about iPhone and Android and the pros and cons from a developer standpoint, I thought it was really interesting to see this article pop up on GigaOM, which is responding to an article that was up on Fortune, which was talking about the iPhone basically eating into Android's quote-unquote dominance. And I find this very funny because I love these kind of analysty wannabe blog posts that try to freak you out with numbers, but basically
and charts,
yeah, charts exactly. and graphs. It's like exactly. that chart's kind of like Zoom goes the and well, no, it's okay.
Zoom goes the Android. But yeah, so essentially, the main hypothesis of the piece was that Charlie Wolf of Needham & Co. noted that Android's market share of smartphone sales in the U.S. fell for the first time ever from 52.4% to 49.5% in the first quarter. And this is the first time Android's ever had a loss. And Wolf basically believes that this is the beginning of a trend that is leading towards the iPhone regaining its dominance. And now that the iPhone is available on Verizon and other characters, it's eating into Android's market dominance. And that with the upcoming, I feel like the iPhone 5, like we all assume it's, we know it's coming, but it never hasn't been announced. But anyway, but the impending release of the iPhone 5 will continue to eat into the Android's market share, and that everyone will just be using iPhones by the time in a year from now. So now I added that last bit, but it's just
that's pretty much what he just said.
It's so hard to believe that is really what's going to happen because I don't know, just based on the emails that we get every day, there's so many new people that are jumping from iPhone to Android. So I think there's a big share of those people as well. I don't know. I find this hard to believe is at all, but
I think it's a question of numbers and volume, and mm-hmm. the fact is that totally understood that the iPhone came to Verizon and that was a whole new bunch of customers, and the iPhone did have it. If you look, go back to the chart, the iPhone did have a bump up in first quarter, which is to be expected when it gets introduced to a whole new set of carriers. But when you're talking about the long term spread of the handsets, you're looking at iPhone, which even if iPhone comes out, what is the price tag? $599? Mm-hmm. $499 if you're lucky? Not everybody can afford that. Meanwhile, there are so many Android handsets out there. You can walk into any T-Mobile or Verizon store and walk out with an Android device for $99.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think that this guy was a little short-sighted in accounting for that. He was kind of putting all the eggs in the iPhone 5's basket and saying, this is the death of Android. It's bloggers. That's what they do. I should know I'm one of them. But still.
I mean, we're still in a recession, right? I mean, not everybody, like you said, we cannot afford big phones like that. I mean, we're in the industry that, you know, we're testing, we're buying things. You know, it's our job to do that. But, you know, you look at everybody else out there who isn't, I can't say the same for them. You know, they're really, really choosy about their phone, and you know, there's even a big share of people who have been emailing us about prepaid phones that we haven't talked about. So
they make Android burners, really,
like burner prepaid phones.
You saw the wire, right?
Yeah.
The burner phone, yeah. I'm sure if they don't, they probably will soon. That's a powerful
burner
phone.
I really look forward
to
the day being a drug dealer with a burner phone that can also run Angry Birds.
Yeah, exactly. That would just get you into trouble, I would imagine. He does make a really good point, and this is something that I thought when, you know, it was all leading up to, okay, finally they've announced the iPhone and it's coming out on Verizon, and oh no, what's going to happen when it finally, you know, happens? Is Android on Verizon going to take a huge dip because suddenly all those people that were just kind of like, you know, appeasing themselves with Android, are they going to finally jump ship and go to the iPhone? Well, that was, you know, when was that? That was February, March,
February, I think,
right around then when that announcement happened. And I mean, all those people are probably sitting pretty, just kind of hanging tight. At least the people that would probably jump ship to iPhone, the ones that realize that Apple updates their phones every year, they're not, you know, they're probably not going to buy right into almost immediately an outdated iPhone. They're going to wait until the next rev, if and when it comes. And like you said, Ron, one hasn't even been announced officially yet, so we don't really know that for sure. But I have no doubt that when the new iPhone comes out on Verizon, there will absolutely be a dip from what it was the previous quarter. I don't know if it's necessarily a 100% change of course leading to the death and destruction and doom of Android forever because of this.
Oh, there goes our show.
And that's the thing. I know, exactly. We're going to have to cancel the show. But if you look at the chart, like 52.4% dipped down to 49.5. So that's like what? Like 3% maybe? Mm-hmm. Like that's a percent deviation. That's hardly anything to get upset about. You know what I mean? Like that's not, I mean, I'd be concerned if it had like a meteoric drop, like from 52.4% to 32, you know, like if it dropped like that dramatically. But it's going to be the ebb and flow. And I think this is what's going to happen, is we're going to see Android and iPhone do this over the next couple of years as more people don't know about Android as much, although the commercials and all stuff like that is becoming, I feel, as if Droid and Android is very much in the public persona.
I think it absolutely is.
Well, look at March and April there. I mean, that was like 10%, it seems like, 10% jump. So I don't know. I mean, whenever I see any kind of, you know, analyst come out with charts and graphs, and whenever there's numbers, it's really hard to take anything as I don't know, as fact or you know, as like solid evidence that, you know, this is X is going to happen.
And that's the problem with these analysts and these bloggers and stuff like that, is that, I mean, we're talking about it. The analyst wrote a good post, and blogger on GigaOm wrote a good article. It said Android market share is losing, iPhone gaining. You know, like that's going to get you page views. And if you really look deep into it, it's kind of like, well, this is just kind of natural market stuff. And let's see what the Q2 numbers look like. Let's see what the Q3 numbers look like before you see a trend. One quarter does not make a trend.
Well, and really, when you really take a look at the manufacturing and the phone OS is out there right now, Android's probably the least of the worries to fall to the side of iPhone. You've got a lot of other platforms that are doing a lot worse. They're worse off right now as in comparison to Android, which like we've talked about many times, it just has this meteoric kind of rise going on right now. It might dip a little bit, but it's in no like position to die off completely when you compare it to, you know, something like Nokia or, you know, Windows Phone 7, which has yet to really prove itself. And I don't know. I just don't see Android as being the one that's in the bad position.
BlackBerry's the one really in trouble. So.
Yeah, BlackBerry's the one that's dying. Yeah. I do got to admit, it's funny because we always talk about how we're in this kind of echo chamber and this little bubble in San Francisco and technology and things like that. But I got to admit, over the past couple of weeks, I've been traveling and I was in New York and I was hanging out with some people who definitively are not tech people or not in our kind of circle. And I saw more flip phones, like, and I literally had, and I was with a friend of mine who's also fairly tech savvy, and he's just like, people still rock those? It's like, and it's kind of funny because you forget that, like, the rest of the world doesn't give a shit about, or doesn't give a crap about all these, doesn't give a crap about all these apps and things like that. They just want a phone that lets them call their wife to tell them they're going to be late for dinner, and that's really all it is. And, so I'd be curious to see what the flip phone or the Motorola or LG, whatever the, you know, like the non-OS phones, what those sales are like.
I was gonna
non-smartphone.
Yeah. Right. There's a worldwide chart, too, on the Fortune CNN article. And Android's going up in that. Am I looking at it correctly? I think I am. I think what's wrong here is they have the month wrong. Anyways, Android's going up worldwide, and so is iPhone slightly. And then, of course, it's just a little different when you look at the world shares. Then it's not so doom and gloom in a way. So it just depends on how you look at it, I guess, too. These are all quarters.
There you go. This is what I'm looking at. This is what you're looking at, right?
There were a couple of things on there. I'm looking at figure five. It's the bottom of the Needham article. There.
I got you. That one. Okay, there we go.
See that? See, look at the pink is Android. That's still up.
Look at that.
Well, and it's been nothing but up.
I don't know. I mean, take what you want. I think the only other thing is, you know, we were going to try and kind of give our own predictions. If we went around the table and did our own predictions of what the smartphone market would be, you don't have to give numbers. You could just say, or if you want, you can give numbers. Based on these iPhone, BlackBerry, Windows, Nokia, Android, what do you guys think?
Oh boy.
You can just guess.
I mean, in what? In like a year from now?
Yeah, a year from now.
A year from now, I think that Android and iPhone will be very neck and neck. It'll be very parity. I think it's going to be whether or not it's, you know, 30%, 30%, or 40%, 40%, but it's clear that you have two players. And BlackBerry is going to be the distant third, and then everything else will be behind that. I think that's really what, I mean, it's going to be similar to what's going on now, but whether or not the dominance is, you know, 50, 40 or anything like that, I think it's going to be much closer. It's going to be like a very thin line between the two.
So. I'm going to say it's going to stay exactly the same.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang.
Sorry that we can't all be on different platforms. But I don't think it changes a whole lot in a year. Windows Phone 7 is still pretty still, young. Mm-hmm. There aren't a huge amount of devices with Windows Phone 7. So.
I don't think Windows Phone 7 is a contender at all.
No?
Well, I don't think at all.
You know, they don't even account for WebOS.
Yeah.
I don't really
there
care
are a
much
lot of
for
people
WebOS
who like
right
WebOS.
I, no, totally.
Sure, there are a lot of people who like WebOS, but can you get it? I mean, that's
I don't know. People were asking me to, you know, create a show for WebOS, so I...
All seven of them? Sorry, that was a fault. I'm sorry.
I know, we're in the Android here, so we're safe. But, you know, if you leave this show, it might be a little bit different. So I'm not going to say anything. But I didn't really feel the need to rush and create a WebOS show. That's all I'll say. But.
Not yet, anyways. It still has to prove itself as a platform before it has that kind of groundswell, I would say.
So let's say Apple comes out and in September announces the iPhone 5. But and iPhone 5, it's amazing. It's lighter. It's faster. It's blah blah blah. It does your laundry. Do you think that has an impact within the next year?
Yeah, it'll put a dent a little bit.
Any more of a dent than what the iPhone 4 did? I mean, like, that's the thing.
About that, because I think, you know, as we progress, there are more and more Android phones. Like when that Samsung Galaxy 2S comes out. Yeah.
But here's the thing about the iPhone. What they've done is they've introduced unless they innovate and come out with the iPhone Nano or whatever it is that we've heard, which is a smaller version. But if they just keep iterating on iPhone 5, iPhone 6, it reminds me of back years ago when I used to work for my dad in the computer business, and he said, and I think I've said this before on the show, there are computers that cost $500, there are computers that cost $1,000, and computers that cost $2,000.
Right.
And what you get for those price points shifts of every 18 months or whatever the whatever Moore's law is or whatever the thing is. And so what you're getting with Apple is you're just getting the new greatest thing is $599, and then the old greatest thing now can get begotten for $250, or you can get an iPhone 3GS for like $99, right? I mean, like they're just shifting the models along, they're shifting the technical specifications along those price points. So really, I don't think they're shaking anything up. When you go to buy a new iPhone, you're going to get the latest and greatest of what there is, whether it's an iPhone 4 or 5, doesn't matter. The question is how many people on the iPhone 4 will feel the need to upgrade to the iPhone 5, but that's not going to dent into market share. Right? So,
yeah.
You
know,
so,
but then there are those Verizon people that are holding back. Exactly. That's what Jason was making.
Yeah, but they were holding back until it came to Verizon. And what, 3% dipped into it?
Yeah, but it's just the fact of it's not the newest hardware. Like, yes, you could get in right now, but you're almost immediately putting yourself into hardware.
That was February. Are we any closer to a new version of the latest hardware?
No, you're right. We still don't know. But their history of Apple tells a lot of those specific people. Now, mind you, a lot of people don't even recognize the fact that Apple has a yearly kind of rollout schedule with their devices and stuff. So this wouldn't even
they're just going to buy they're going to buy whatever the top. That's the point I'm making. They're just going to buy whatever's out. And unless Apple introduces another flavor of phone, I don't really think they're going to dramatically shift the market share that much. That's my point. So now they could come out with this with the iPhone Nano, and I'll have to eat my words, and they'll totally eat into Android. Yeah. And you know, but we'll see.
There are murmurings that is coming up. An iPhone Nano, we will be able to check back in with you, Ron, and see how accurate you are.
We'll come back in the fall. We'll check with you in the fall.
All right, let's move on to, I'm pretty excited about this. Let's move on to hardware. Want to know why I'm excited?
Yes, I want to know why you're excited.
I have this right here. It is a HTC Thunderbolt.
Wow.
So, we both lost.
Yes.
We both lost, right?
That depends. That really just does depend.
Yeah, let's explain why you got the Thunderbolt. And I was shocked you had a tweet. A tweet last week, like which one you should get, and that one overwhelmingly won.
First of all, I should give credit where credit's due. Vance14 on Twitter was the one that hit me up at the end of last week and was like, dude, why don't you upgrade your wife's phone and then just use it until the phone comes out and then give her that one? And I was like, okay, initially I thought about it and I was like, well, that's kind of rude. I'm going to upgrade your phone and then I'm going to use it.
It's kind of like when Homer bought Marge the bowling ball and had Homer etched into it.
Totally. I thought it was rude initially, but then I was like, you know, Stacy, my wife, Stacy, she does not care. Like, she really does not care. She has the Motorola Droid. She uses it for email, very light browsing. She has no problems with it. It's stock. You know, I never rooted it for her. She really has no need for anything advanced in her phone. She really doesn't care. She's perfectly happy with it. So I didn't say I was going to do it. I just, you know, brought it up in conversation and said, what do you think? Like, would you be okay with that? And she was like, are you kidding? I don't care. I get a new phone out of it eventually. And I was like, well, okay then. I guess the problem is solved. So it's not really my Thunderbolt. I have it on loan from my wife.
As someone who does all about Android, it's good that you've upgraded your phone because Ron and I don't need to tease you anymore when something happens like ADW launcher not working.
Which I did get hit up by some people on Twitter who said, oh, that was totally ADW. That wasn't your phone. But, you know, it could have been anything. Who knows? But so I have the little HTC Thunderbolt here.
So how do you like it?
Here, I'll pop that screen on, I hope.
It's a pretty phone.
Did you power it off?
There I guess I did. Okay. Nice. Well, I'll go ahead and talk about it and see how fast it boots up. I don't know how I turned it off, but anyways. I actually really like it a lot. The common complaint about the HTC Thunderbolt, obviously, it's the first LTE phone on Verizon, and the big complaint is battery life. And that actually is something that's very important to my wife. She wants it to, you know, power through the day or whatever. But when we went through the two choices that we kind of narrowed it down to were the HTC Thunderbolt and the Droid Charge, the Samsung Droid Charge. And she just thought the Charge was kind of plasticky, which it is. The Thunderbolt is really kind of durable and tough, and especially coming from the Motorola Droid, she just wants it to feel solid in the hand. And
you know, we just kind of, she played around, you know, with both of them a very little bit, and she was like, you know what, I don't care, you pick. She put the onus on me. That's how much she really didn't care. And I was like, all right, well, then I guess I'd go Thunderbolt, because I've heard good things. I put a call out on Twitter, and overwhelmingly, people were saying go with the Thunderbolt. And so far, I've really liked it. Like I said, the battery life with LTE is horrible. The first day, I was running LTE, and after like 2 hours, it was...
I mean, that's what I've heard about. That's the biggest knock with this phone is the battery life, right? Other than that, I'm guessing most of the features and how fast it is, it's pretty sweet.
It's very sweet. It's super fast, especially in comparison with my Motorola Droid. Everything's super snappy. There we go. Now it's coming on. That wasn't a horrible reboot.
Ooh, look how pretty that is.
And I, you know, almost immediately, you know, installed my Launcher Pro and kind of refit it up to match the way my customization was on the old phone. So again, it feels kind of
fast.
Like,
it's snappy.
Yeah, it's super snappy. One thing I will say right off the top is like the screen is huge, big for me, anyways, 4.3. And I noticed with Launcher Pro the feature that we talked about, where you can fit more icons, more icons per row and per column, actually really comes to use here because good use here because if you don't do that, you have, you know, in this center area, I'd have four icons on two different rows, and you just feel like there's a lot of wasted space. So with Launcher Pro, I was able to kind of use that space and really kind of throw all of my favorite apps there and fit more on the screen and have it not be so tiny that it's unusable. But I almost immediately downloaded this LTE on-off switch, which looks a little intimidating, and I'm really surprised that there is no widget for this yet. But this allows you to go in here and turn off LTE if you want. And since I did that on Saturday, battery has been fantastic. I mean, it lasts through the day. I'm on 3G all the time, but quite frankly, like I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I always kind of felt 3G was fine. Mm-hmm. Yes, LTE is faster, and faster is great in all senses of anything when it comes to smartphones and speed and stuff like that. But not if it means a 2 hour battery life. And then, you know, everybody's also saying, well, get an extended battery. And
shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't need to get that.
Shouldn't have to do that. I don't know if it adds like girth to the phone.
I think it does, actually.
It probably does. And I would much rather just use 3G and then those few times where I'm like, God, having a lot of speed right now would be really good. I could switch, you know, turn on LTE and then use it and realize that my battery is going to suffer as a result of it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with getting a backup battery to have on hand, carry with you or put in your, like I've got like in my bag, I have my little pack of like, you know, my, you know, power cable and my mouse and the display converter for my laptop and throw an extra battery in there. That's fine when you're on the road, that sort of thing. But the double life batteries that add the girth you shouldn't have to do that. It's frustrating.
Well, and that wreaks havoc with, you know, if you have accessories, like if you have a car mount or anything like that, it makes it almost unusable for things like that as well. But, you know, it also has this fancy little thing, little kickstand on the back.
I don't get it.
Which I completely forgot about. But hey, I guess if I was doing an app review, I could just go like,
look at that.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
Little, yeah, there you go.
A little kickstand. But it makes it's not as easy as putting it in this thing, though. But overall, I really like it. And I'm having a great time with it. And it's nice to kind of have some screen real estate and have it be fast and not laggy and everything. I haven't rooted it yet. I do think that I probably will eventually, just because I miss some of those root apps, including the app that I'm going to be talking about in the arena today, which means that I'm going to be reviewing today's arena app on my old Motorola Droid.
So, okay, we didn't exactly lose the bet because you are going to get a new phone.
Yes. So,
because the dream phone has not come out yet, so our bets are still in play, right? Right?
Yes.
Is that?
I would say your
Ron,
bets are still in play.
Why are you laughing at me?
Because I'm laughing at the combination of the grasping at straws for the bet and also Jason's non-committalness to actually settle on yes, this is my phone.
Yeah. I don't like losing. So I don't like.
And Eileen doesn't like losing.
It's tapping in on two of your neuroses that I find fascinating.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no. So the plan is that I'm using this until
the dream.
There's the Bionic that's supposedly coming out by the end of the summer, right? That's 2 months, and I can kind of see if that's really the one. Right now, I feel pretty satisfied. I've got this thing to use. My wife doesn't care. If like a really amazing ice cream sandwich phone is coming out by the end of the year, sure, I might wait for that too. I don't know.
It's like you're waiting for Howard Hughes to rise from the grave and design a brand new kind of phone just for you. And it's
like, yeah, I am. I'm waiting for that. That's true.
Oh, man.
I'll be happy until that happens.
Okay, so I just want to clarify our bets are not
the bets
done.
Are still valid. And yes. Also, I would like bonus points for working in a Howard Hughes reference. So there you go.
Anyway, come on. Wait, but my was the Bionic. Was that yours too?
Yes, we were both on the Bionic.
So we don't win at all. Well, yeah. Unless we both lose.
Right. Well, I think that's already happened today.
No, it didn't happen. It's a technicality.
We all lose today, except Jason.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I lost because I thought he was going to get the charge. I didn't think he was going to get the
loser here is Jason's wife, who's rocking a Motorola Droid and somehow is fine with it.
Hey, she's fine with it. She loves
it. Oh, she thinks her phone is great. I'm going to get you this new phone that I'll use, and then you can use my old crappy phone.
Oh, boy.
The big loser is Jason's wife. Are you going to tell her that Ron said that?
Boy,
Ron
no,
said
probably
you were the
not.
Loser in this.
I'm speechless. I'm done.
All right, Eileen, you go.
I don't know if I can. That was the best segment ever.
You have good news. I thought I had good news, but I guess I didn't.
All right. Well, I got a Nook. And I got a Nook because I wanted to get some cred since I hadn't rooted my phone yet. And
color did you get?
I got the Nook color.
Awesome.
And I have it right here.
Is it a nice little form factor?
It's got a nice little form factor. I really like holding it like that, you know. It's very, you know, it's a little heavier than I thought it would be. I mean, it's definitely heavier than the Kindle.
I like the little hook at the bottom. If you have a carabiner, you can attach it to your waist.
Yeah,
it might be a little weird to do that, but
has anyone come up with a really good like reason why that hook is there? Is it just to give it a visual
splash?
Well,
it's the SD card, micro SD card is right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So well, I feel like you could have done that without the little hook. Yeah. I feel like the hook is screaming
well,
to be latched
then,
onto
and
something.
Then it says there, Nook.
Oh, that's why they did it, the inscription. Yeah. Okay.
So, anyways. So this weekend, I had a little project, and I think I basically, it was sort of 50% success, 50% fail, and I'll tell you why. What I got here is Honeycomb.
Oh, look at that. Nook. That is Honeycomb.
Guess who did a little terminal? Me. I rocked it a little bit. I didn't actually root the device. It is on the SD card. Everything is it's booted through the SD card. I didn't want to mess with the Barnes & Noble Nook, and my first time rooting, I didn't want to brick the entire unit, which... I don't know. Maybe I just didn't have enough faith in myself.
So you rooted it, but it's running from the SD card. So the actual OS, the actual drive within the Nook is not rooted.
That's correct.
You're just booting off the SD card.
Yeah.
That's right. I've heard of that. The Nook color allows you to do that.
Yeah. And
which is cool because it's like it lets you tinker with that without screwing up the whole device.
That's what I was afraid of, at least on my first try. And when I pop out the SD card, it'll relaunch the regular Barnes & Noble, you know, OS that comes with it. So let's just take a look here. Now, what I did was I used Deeper Blue in the XDA forums, flashed the SD card. You just need a 4G or 8G Class 4 card. You need a card reader because that's what you're modding. And then you have to download a specific image disk file. It's a Nook Honey image file. And then there was a few terminal commands. And Jason, there's there's a Flickr on there.
Here we go.
You could see my I made a few mistakes. And then it was really wonky. I had to move the image file off my desktop into a folder and then had to move it out. And then I moved into another folder and then it finally took. It was like, really? I thought you're supposed to see it wherever I go. And even though I put it in, I put it out of a folder, and then I put it back in, and I put it back out, and then I put it back in the same folder like 20 minutes later, it finally worked. And all I had to do was a few lines, you know, in Terminal. And then I basically inserted the SD card and then powered up. And then I got Honeycomb. Now, the next step was to, because it doesn't include the Android market. There was another line of code I had to run and do all of this. Now, for whatever reason, my computer or Terminal was not recognizing the Nook. So I couldn't do that. And I tried that for hours and I tried different, I was on the forums and I tried different workarounds and for whatever reason it wasn't working. Maybe I just need a Windows machine to do it and I didn't have one at home, whatever. So I gave up because I finally said, you know what, I can get Amazon. I can get the Amazon App Store. I can use App Store. I can get Jar to get Cut the Rope, which is what I did. So that, you know, the only thing I'm missing now is Gmail, is Google stuff. So I want the calendar. I want the mail. I don't really need the maps. I have my phone for that. So I'm just kind of missing that. But if you look, it's basically Honeycomb. Let me do, see, I will say that it's a little slow and it's a little buggy. Sometimes I have to force quit. I haven't put a lot of stuff on here yet. And what's interesting,
it definitely kind of sticks a little bit.
It does. And what's interesting is that, you know, it partitions the SD card. So I'm not really using the full 4 gigs of it as the image. And then just a few, you know, megabytes are the apps and I'm not really using the rest of it. So I'm kind of like, I don't know, how do I get around that? Maybe somebody can help me with that. And there are many other ways.
I think the Nook processing power also is a little slower. I think that's because it's such a cheap device. Yeah. Not cheap in terms of quality, but you know, like it's affordable, so it's probably I forget what the specs are, but I don't think it's the top of the line processor.
Right. So there it is.
Dr. Baltazar in the chat room also mentions that the speed could be the read off of the SD card.
Yeah.
You know, versus
that's
the internal.
What I was thinking too. At the same time, there is mods to put Gingerbread on the Nook, and I'm going to show you that in a little bit. And I think it runs a lot snappier, and they're also using the SD card. Well, I'll show you that in a little bit, and I think it just runs faster. My experience, though, it's fine. I mean, the web browser, I actually don't have Wi-Fi connected. I should probably try and do that right now. It's a little slow. It's a little buggy. I think what I'm actually going to end up doing is eliminating Honeycomb on this and put Gingerbread on it.
Yeah.
Because there are some mods that allow you to have automatically the Android Marketplace and Netflix and Hulu. So I'm going to try those out because, well, it's fine. It's just, there's the keyboard there. I'm trying to connect to, see, look at the non-responsiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Every once in a while, so I have to go down.
Hitting it.
Yeah.
Finally.
Hello, there we go.
Okay.
I
bet they work out a lot of those bugs, though.
Deeper Blue is supposed to come out with a 3.1 update, and that'll be good. Mm-hmm. I'll show you Cut the Rope later when we get to that. But look, I've got the Kindle app on here. I made a point to download that specifically, and then you know I've got the Amazon App Store. So yeah, it takes a little bit long to load, and then it kind of circles and but you know it's not so bad actually. It's kind of cool, and I actually feel excited that I was able to do this on my own.
That's
it didn't
awesome.
Take too long. Now getting the Android Marketplace was a pain, and I didn't get that done. I wish I would have gotten that, but it's my first step. So you know, yay!
That's,
I guess
that's great. So are you going to go the next step and actually root the drive itself?
I don't know if I want to. I like the Barnes & Noble interface. You know, I like this as I actually really dig the e-reader itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I will do that. Now, this is Tony Wang. This is his...
One
of our editors upstairs. And let me double check here. Tony used AutoNeuter 3.0 and he also installed it on the SD card. But eventually it is on the Nook, he said. Okay, so sorry, guys. So he's got Gingerbread going, and let me, there we go. There we go. He's got widgets already. There's Pulse. It's moving pretty fast here as I'm, you know, going through this.
Yeah, I've heard Gingerbread on the Nook is great.
Yeah, and he's got, look at all the apps that he's got on here.
Nice.
I think, I think I'm going to have to go his route instead and use Gingerbread. And I'll report back. Look, when he pops up, he's got some of the Nook settings here.
Mm-hmm.
Now this
is it could be a modified version of the Nook.
Exactly. Let's see how.
That's great.
Oh, and this is the actual Nook interface. I like this.
Well, that's like the best of both worlds. There you go.
Yeah. And it's all on the SD card. So maybe I'll have to go the Tony Wang route. So cool. I don't know. It was a fun experiment, and I'm still working on it, and I don't know. It was fun. Now that's awesome. I feel confident to kind of do my own root my phone. The one thing I'm still working on is fixing my tab, and I'll report
your
back.
Galaxy tab.
I'll report back. What's the ongoing
totally out of commission right now?
Out of curiosity, how many hours total spent on this Nook project?
Just to put Honeycomb on it, probably a half hour. But then. Unless you count the drive to Best Buy when I didn't realize I needed a micro SD card and a micro, that doesn't really count. That's so half an hour to put that on, only because I'm the new. It probably would take somebody 10 minutes who does this normally, but it took me half an hour because I was like reading the directions and making sure I was doing everything right.
And then
I spent 2 hours trying to get the Android Marketplace. This was like after midnight, and I said, "Forget it, I'm done. I don't need it. I've got it."
That's when you reach that diminishing returns based on the work.
Right.
I need to stop and go to bed now.
Yeah, I mean, after reading everyone's workarounds and not getting it to work, I thought, okay, something's wrong here. I'm doing something wrong. And I didn't know how to do the path command. So I was doing it a different way I'm not an expert. So I was trying to do it for the first time. Eventually I'll get it, I think.
Cool.
But that's it. That was my little project this week.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let us know how the gingerbread switch goes as well. So we want to just mention really quick that we got an email, Eileen and I. We were at Google I.O., of course, and while we were there, they said that everybody was getting Chromebooks. We got an email last week that basically said we could sign up and get our Chromebooks, the Samsung Series 5 3G Chromebook in Arctic White, which, of course, Amazon right now, I'm sure, got pummeled with, so they're totally out of stock. So basically, both of us are, I think, registered to receive these at some point in the future. Yeah, we just thought we'd mention we probably aren't going to do a lot of Chromebook coverage on the show. It's just, it's not Android.
It's a different track. At Google I.O., there was the Chrome track. There was the Android track. This is all about Android. So I kind of feel like what I'll do is I'll use the Chromebook on the show. Because I know some people have been like, why are you using Mac?
Yeah.
Well, this is my computer. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, totally.
But I'd like to use it on the show.
Yeah.
So
we'll try and do that. But anyways, we'll be getting those soon, so that'll be exciting. So you probably won't hear a huge amount about Chromebook development and all that kind of stuff, just to answer some of those emails that we got. Eileen, we have an email. Why don't you take that?
Quick email feedback from last week. Jason Applebaum, developer, was here, and a lot of you loved him, and we'll have him back on the show. This is from Simon McDonald, and he just says, I was listening to episode 13 and would like to thank you for the phone gap mention. I'm one of the contributors to this open source project, with my core area being the Android implementation. One thing I wanted to clear up was one of the comments that was made about the apps looking generic. That's not 100% correct, as you are purely limited to what you can do in HTML5, CSS3, and JavaScript skills. Toolkits like jQuery, Sencha, and Dojo have very good support for mobile widgets, and you can make your apps look like native ones quite easily. The PhoneGap framework itself provides you a JavaScript API to access the native device features like geolocation, acceleration, contacts, etc. And as an extra benefit to developers, there is supported plugin infrastructure that allows you to expose more native functionality by creating your own plugin. Anyways, I could talk about this all day, so if you ever want to get more information on PhoneGap, don't hesitate to contact me. Thank you, Simon. So just a follow-up from last week.
Yeah, and,
it's really for Jason.
Jason Applebaum was the one that talked at length about this stuff, and we read the email. We were like, that's really good information. Yeah. It's coming from the source. I don't really know what I have to say about it, but I'm sure there are a lot of you listening
who would want to know it.
So
yeah, and had the feedback, I guess, too.
The irony is that is Jason even going to watch this? Is he going
to
hear this?
I'm going to forward Applebaum. This email to Jason Applebaum. That's what I'll do.
He'll be stoked. He'll be stoked. Let's see here. Let's move on then to our next segment. We have apps coming right up right now. Boom.
So I was super excited today, actually, when I heard the news that Hulu Plus is now available for Android, which is awesome because I just recently recommitted to Hulu Plus because there's a new show. Well, not a new show, but there's an old British show called Misfits that's only available on Hulu. And so I dusted off my Hulu Plus account. I've been watching it on my Xbox 360, my TV. But now I could be on the go. I could be on the train. I could be on the bus, and I could pull up Hulu Plus on my Android phone. I was really kind of impressed at the interface to the application. I don't know if you guys got a chance to download and take a look at it yet, but it was.
I've got it right here.
I always like it when an app doesn't look like every other app, and I feel like Hulu did that with this version. If you go back to the home screen, actually, if you go to the main, hit the back button there. Back again. This is a great television. Back again. Oh, weird.
Should I just hit Hulu Plus? Oh, yeah, there
you go. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, so you just get a very simple, you know, do you want to choose TV, movies, or go into your queue, or you can look at your history, or you can search. If you just hit TV, it will go into the TV section, and it will show you content that's available. It's serving up the next episode of Misfits, because that's the thing next in my queue, which is a nice kind of combination, as well as that's also a new release that came out today. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to just pull up an episode and just tap on it, and it just starts loading the video right and go. You don't have to do anything more than that. You can log into your Hulu account, and so you can see your queue, and you can access everything that you normally do just through the Hulu website or any of the other Hulu apps. I was a little disappointed that it's phone only and not tablet, though. I tried installing it on my Zoom, and it's not in the marketplace. So yeah, so it's kind of sad there. But it's nice. I mean, now that after Netflix, now Hulu Plus coming to Android, it's like I really have no excuses not to watch things on my phone now.
Apparently, you have no excuse to watch lots of ads.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing too.
Sorry.
Two ads that are just ridiculous. There was actually, I was at the gym watching Hulu Plus on my iPad, and there were 2 minutes left in the show, and an ad break came up.
Are you serious?
2 minutes?
2 minutes left. I was like, really? I got to watch 30 seconds about Miller Genuine Draft? Really? But,
Yes, you do.
That's the price you got to pay. I can't complain. You know, people watch our shows and other things like that. It's all ad supported, so you gotta make the money where you can.
But. Yeah, I guess a lot of people have a problem with this because you pay for the Hulu Plus service, and then on top of that get the ads. You kind of feel like you're already paying, so why do you have to be exposed to the ads as well? But right. I guess that's what we do on cable.
Yeah, you know, my only problem with Hulu Plus is that new shows aren't necessarily on Hulu Plus. I'm paying for Hulu Plus. So instead of watching it on the app, I have to go on the website to watch it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't like that.
That's the separating things between the web and like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is only web only now, and it's like, why? I don't want to watch on the web. I've got all these different versions and things like that. You might want to stop it because this is a mature show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Can you scrub through it?
I haven't seen the episode, so I don't know what's going to happen. So.
Sorry, Ron.
Spoiler alert.
Can you scrub through the episode pretty well on here?
Yeah, you can scrub through it. It works the same as you would expect it. I mean, it's a nice little app. It's pretty good. But it's really interesting because I really kind of dismissed Hulu and I never really used it until Misfits. The only place I could watch Misfits was on Hulu, and now I had a reason to use it. So it just shows that balance of content and a platform that if they have the content I want, I'm actually going to use it. So it's good to see they have the apps there. So
good.
Nice. So that's Hulu Plus. It's in the marketplace. You can install it right now. And I guess what? Hulu Plus, $7.99 a month. No commitment, they say. I don't know. Never been too lured into the Hulu Plus world. But
I think I signed up for it. Somebody sent me like a free month trial, and I told it, and hook, line, and sinker, I signed up for it, and then I just have never canceled it. So
nice. All right.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna go bankrupt because of all these micropayments.
I hear you.
$2.99 here, $7.99 there, 99 cents there, and I'm gonna be poor.
Right on. What you got, Eileen?
Well, actually, exclusively on the GetJar marketplace came out Cut the Rope, which was a famous iOS game, and finally glad to have it on Android. And I'm going to try and show you Cut the Rope on my Nook.
Oh, cool. Oh, good idea.
Which I really... there it is.
This game has overtaken my life.
Tell us about it, Ron.
I'm like on level 85, you have no joke.
What?
Not even exaggerating.
Oops, I messed up. It's hard to play. Oh no, I didn't mess up.
Physics game, right?
Yeah. So you've got these stars, and they're connected to the ropes, and you got to cut them, and then you got to eventually put it into. Let's play the next. Into is this a frog? It's a frog.
It's,
right?
it's a little alien or something.
It's like it looks like an amphibian to me. Whoop, so you got
candy hanging from a rope, and you gotta. Have the candy hit the stars to get the full stars. But then there's all sorts of physics involved. Like if the rope has a lot of tension, it will bounce back. And there's like other – and as you go in further levels, there are other little devices and things. You just missed it.
I did. Yeah. Start over. Okay, like Angry Birds. You just start over.
Yep. It's very Angry Birdsian.
Oh! I got this done already, and I was just trying to show you. But the music is really great. The touch sensitivity is awesome, and it's free right now at GetJar. And they got the exclusive, not Amazon. Didn't come out to the Android marketplace.
Right,
so I think it's really cool that we could get our apps in different places.
A lot of people would see that as a disadvantage. I totally agree, though. I think, you know, if there are more marketplaces, you have more of an opportunity. Like, Amazon is the prime example of offering you for free what you might have to pay for elsewhere, because they've worked out those deals to have the daily free app. So
yeah,
you know, it's more competition.
The only thing I don't like about the Android marketplace, and someone correct me if I'm wrong,
the
here
Amazon
no I'm sorry the Amazon marketplace, is when there's updates, I don't know what the updates are.
Yeah.
Have you noticed
that? It just says update this app.
Most of you don't care, but I really like to know what my updates are. I want to know what the changes are, and I don't see that anywhere in the store. Whereas in the Android marketplace, you know, you get this whole laundry list. Well, we did this.
You might not want to upgrade to that particular version. It might do something in the change that you don't want.
Yeah, so I
want to
see that. That's the one thing I don't like.
Publish your personal info on Twitter. If you update this app, it will steal all of your data and send it to China.
Right.
Had I known, I wouldn't have updated.
Right on. All right. Well, let's do another email here. Yep. Let's see here. This is from Adam in Nashville, who writes, I switched from Windows Mobile 6.1 to a Nexus One about a year ago. One of the features I had with my old phone was the ability to automatically record every phone call. But I've yet to find a reliable free app for Android that doesn't require you to use the speakerphone. And he says, P.S., contrary to what most people believe, federal law specifically allows you to record your own conversations without having to notify the other parties. I always assumed it was the other way around, but he says, California, Maryland state laws have a provision that requires notification, but the state I live in does not. In fact, most states mirror federal law. I mentioned this because every time I ask on a forum, I get a "Oh my God, illegals" response by the third post, and then the thread turns into a discussion of wiretapping law. I can understand the frustration there. That's hilarious.
Do you guys ever feel like you need to record calls?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't.
There are a section of people that do, like Adam in Nashville.
I'm sure there are reasons to record calls. I mean, it's probably because we live in California that I always just assumed that it was illegal to do that without notifying.
I could see that. I mean, depending on what you do, if you're a journalist, I could see having to record calls to go back to get quotes and things like that. Yeah, I mean, totally. I could see reasons being. I mean, you know, I record calls via Skype that I'm doing for interviews and stuff like that just because I have to. If I wasn't using Skype, I guess I would use it on the phone too.
That's true. That's really
I guess I
point.
Should record my own customer service calls when I call. And,
hey, that's,
you know,
not
and
a bad,
hey,
that's not a bad reason.
You know,
nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, well, I got conned several years ago by a carrier. I won't say who.
Actually,
and conned. I should just, that's a bad word. They misled me. They told me that my contract was up and I should know when my contract is up. And so I just said, oh, great. Well, I'm just going to cancel my contract. Then I got charged later when I canceled my contract because it wasn't actually up. But the person on the line, you know, shouldn't have told me that in the first place. And I wish I had that recording. So I complained and whatever.
I'm right there with you. I was checking into a hotel and I was on, and my reservation got canceled and I was on the phone with the loyalty program and he was telling me that they don't understand why my reservation was canceled, but I could go to another hotel because the hotel I was trying to get into was fully booked, but I would have to pay $150 cancellation fee for the reservation that was canceled. And I nearly lost it. I wish I had recorded that call because I could have sent it to them as proof of bad customer service.
Yeah. So there are some, you know, customer service. That's a good reason to need these apps.
Go.
But anyways, you have some answers, right?
I mean, there were a couple of options that we were kind of looking into. One of them is called Total Recall, and I couldn't find a market link for this, even though on their website specifically, they have a link that says it goes to the market, but it actually doesn't. It goes to here. It's a $10 app, and just reading through the comments on the site itself, $10 is pretty steep, unless it does it really well. But, you know, a lot of the reviews down at the bottom just did not look very good. 659 comments, and a lot of the ones that I read just either said that it didn't work or they wanted to uninstall it, wanted a refund. There was no way to get a refund, which is kind of a risk you take, I guess, when you're buying apps not in a particular marketplace. It's one thing that a marketplace does for you. It has rules and regulations built into it. So if you don't like what you get, you can easily get your money back. So I'm not saying that it's a bad app. I haven't used it. Comments seem to kind of paint it not in the most positive way. So that's Total Recall. There's another one called Record Call, which is in the marketplace. And
and this is free. And again, 2.5 stars maybe from reviewers. And it also says that it mutes your side of the call a lot of the time, which makes it pretty useless. And it does use the speakerphone, as Adam said he didn't want to do. But we found one that was called Record My Call. And this one is free. It gets good ratings in the Android market. And a lot of the reviews say that it does exactly what he's looking for. And, you know, doesn't require it to be over the speakerphone in order to do the recording. So I don't know, Adam, if you've already found this or if this is one that you've tried and it actually didn't work for what you were using. And if that's the case, let us know, aa@twit.tv. But maybe this will work for you and anybody else that's looking to do this. Record My Call in the Android market.
Good luck.
Yeah,
let us know.
Yeah, I'm curious. I've just never thought to do that on my Android phone. We'll take a quick break here and thank our sponsor, Netflix. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Netflix, which streams thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you instantly, which means you save time, money, and hassle. There are several easy ways to install and instantly access streaming movies and TV shows with Netflix. You can watch these on your Mac, your PC, iPad, some Android devices. You can watch on your iPhone, a gaming console, Xbox 360, PS3, Nintendo Wii, the Roku, Apple TV. There's just tons of devices that allow you to watch Netflix nowadays, and that list is just growing and growing. And you can basically watch these instantly. You can launch them right from the app or from your browser and play them right away. Here's Shutter Island. Maybe I'll go ahead and watch a movie while I'm here. Pardon me while
I need to watch this movie. I haven't seen it yet.
While I watch a movie. Whichever way you choose to access Netflix, you can watch as many movies and TV shows. Oh no, Silverlight update. Well, I have never done that on this PC, so I'm not surprised. You can watch as many movies and TV shows as you want, anytime you want. You can cancel anytime, and you can try Netflix today for 30 days free. Go to netflix.com/twit. And you can sign up for a 30-day free trial. Again, that's netflix.com/twit. And check it out. I've been very, very happy for many years with Netflix.
Me too.
And I think you will too. So thank you for sponsoring Twit and All About Android.
Thank you, Netflix. Yeah, I'm watching Bones.
Bones.
I'm still in the middle of Buffy, but maybe I just like David Boreanaz. I decided to start watching Bones.
So. I told you he went to my college, right?
He did?
He did, yeah.
Oh,
did you I wasn't know? There at the time.
Oh, did, I was like, did you there. Know?
Yeah. No, I didn't. So
he seems like a character. I saw him at Comic-Con a couple years ago talking about Bones, and he was very energetic. Yeah. Anyways.
All right.
My David Boreanaz story.
Boom. And with that, maybe we'll run into him in the arena, you think?
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
That was awesome. Him. David Boreanaz was in the background.
That was him. Yeah. He's in the seats. Don't
Where
you
is,
know?
Oh, yeah, I see him.
Fire there, David Boreanaz.
There he is, right there. Wow, I never noticed that before. That's amazing. All right. So this week in the arena, well, first of all, let's check in on last week.
What happened last week?
Last week we covered
the
launchers.
Tragedy. I got destroyed.
What happened?
Oh, really?
I'm
looking at this
no
for the
way.
First time. Let's see here. And what was your favorite launcher from the ones shown in episode 13? It appears that Go Launcher EX is the winner.
Yay!
With 47% of the votes. ADW Launcher comes in second at 42%. Regina 3D Launcher comes in third with 11%.
Yeah. But I thought that was a fine new pick.
I took a risk. I went for an unknown. I went for a rookie. You know,
it's you got to take a risk.
Somebody's
got to
do
while.
It. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's a risk being taken in today's. Yes. Arena.
And as we noted, Launcher Pro was reviewed the week before. We know that would have won over, you know, overwhelmingly so.
Well, and it would have just been repetitious had we talked about Launcher Pro again for 10 minutes
exactly.
or whatever. So.
So that's why it wasn't included in our arena, but right. Kevin Purdy reviewed that a couple weeks ago.
That's right. All right, so this week we are doing a different type of app. We're doing backup apps, and I think we realized when we set this and started kind of looking at the landscape of backup apps on Android, we realized that there are a lot of different types of backup you can be talking about. Mm-hmm. You can be talking about, you know, backup to the cloud. Mm-hmm. You can talk about backup, you know, your photos and your music somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, onto your SD card, or you can backup like an image of your OS and be able to restore that later. So you know, and that's very popular in the root side of things. So there's a lot of different ones, and I think the three apps that we're going to talk about today are definitely very different from each other. So I guess let's start with you, Eileen.
All right. Before I get into talking about my app, which is Sprite Backup, and it's $4.99 in the marketplace, I didn't back up before. I don't have a rooted device, as you all know. So what I feel was really important for me to back up were my photos and my music, and I do that in different ways. My photos, you guys know I use Dropin, and I've been backing it up to Dropbox. I also have a different app called Lookout, which I think I'm going to talk about when we talk about, you know, security and remote wiping and stuff like that. And that's been suggested to me as well. My videos, I don't really take that many videos on my phone. So when I back those up, I just kind of, you know, take it off my phone and put it, I don't know, in Dropbox or something like that. Now, there's a lot of people who don't like Dropbox for security reasons. They've been in the news lately, so I can totally understand that. And then my contacts, everything else is Google, you know? So I'm guessing that there's just a... I should be more thorough about backing up my device in general. So this is a really good exercise. And in particular, app settings and things like that. The game Battleheart that I reviewed several weeks ago, you know, I've been told that Titanium backup would be a really good way to keep this my level play. And I never got a chance to use it. And I was going to try, but then I'd have to root the tab. And then my tab... died. So that's a long story, but that's kind of the thing that I would want to keep.
Want backup for.
Yeah, want backup for, something like that. Yeah, that's something that's not covered, which I think that's one of them. I don't really know if... Okay, first of all, here's Sprite backup, and what I'm going to do... Oh, come on, Sprite. There we go. This was recommended to me last week when we were kind of brainstorming post-show as to what to use, because I didn't use anything. So I thought this was interesting. The backup here, you got backup restore, you can schedule as well. You could back up to your own device if you have room, a storage card, box.net or Dropbox. And I tried the box.net and Dropbox, and I don't have that big of an account on box.net, so I only did certain settings. But let's see, if I go into box.net here, I'll show you that. And then let's see. Let me replace. That was the test there that I did. This should show up soon. All the different applications, settings, you know, all the checkboxes that you can back up. So you can restore your backups. You can reinstall. Again, you could back up to your PC, FTP. You could schedule. There's encryption options. I don't know why this is taking so long. I love live demos. The system settings, there are, let's see here, you could back up your wallpaper, your ringtones, your notification volumes. I mean, just it gets to the nitty gritty. Call volumes, user dictionaries, alarms, all that kind of stuff. I could go on and on. Now, what's unsettling is the fact that I couldn't upload my videos. And I only had one video to upload, and it wouldn't upload to either Box.net or Dropbox. I don't know if it was Dropbox or actually Sprite. Here we go. Now, you could see here I've checked application settings, bookmarks, not calendar, because I know that's booked already, or that's already backed up. My call log, contacts, no, because I have that on Google. Some of my text or my messages. I didn't pick multimedia just in case. I just was kind of doing a sample. Music, I've got Google Music, Amazon. You know, I've already got several cloud lockers, so I'm fine. Again, photos, I'm done there. System settings, I guess I could have done that, but I didn't choose. And then there's video. So these are the selections that you could back up using Sprite. And it only takes a few minutes to do, so let's just continue and see how long that takes there.
And it overwrites the backup that's already there?
It does. And when I go into box.net, I see the file right there. And now... another disconcerting thing is that I went into the marketplace and there's a lot of one-star reviews because it looks like it doesn't work for several phones. I don't know, like the HTC Evo 4G doesn't work for it. There's certain phones that it doesn't work for. There's no listing on the website as to which phones it works for and which phones it doesn't work for. And so I guess I'm just a little concerned with this after reading. You know, I did the backup. It seemed to work. There was a couple kinks to it. I'm fine with it. There are 198 5-star ratings. There's also 141-star ratings. So I'm giving you a warning right now, and for $4.95, maybe you should be careful for it. Now, again, I'm only doing it for small items, and I'm not doing it for the whole kit and caboodle. So maybe that's why. And this software has been around for Windows Mobile and for Palm.
So this isn't the first platform that they had this on.
Exactly. So it seems to work for them, but there are a lot of 1-stars. Doesn't work for Froyo. I mean, I don't know. Mm. Give or take what you want. I'm just giving you the good and the bad. For what I used it for, it seems to work fine.
Yeah, it sounds like it's probably the kind of app that works. That does what you want it to do if it works with your device.
Exactly.
It's not that it doesn't do the things that you need it to do. It's just it's not working with every device out there. And
exactly.
If they don't spell that out right up in front, then yeah, that's a bad user experience.
Yeah. So anyways, it does a lot of things, but it may not work for your phone. Just that's the caveat there. But there were a few people who suggested the app and who love it, and you know, who've been using it much longer than who've been using it much longer than I have. So I think I'll just toss it to the next person.
Lob it over to me.
Back it up to Jason.
Like Wimbledon.
All right. all right, cool. Well, I'm going to go in a completely different direction, just in the sense that the app that I chose... Here's the funny thing about the app that I chose. My new phone here, my Thunderbolt, isn't rooted, and the app that I chose is a root app. So I'm going to go ahead and get my demo on my old, you know, crappy phone. And so we'll see how this goes. Hopefully my phone doesn't die in the middle of it like it did last week. I chose to do Titanium Backup for Root. And if you go to the Android marketplace, there's Titanium Backup for Root, which is free. Then there's Titanium Backup Pro, and it's a pro version of the app, which is $5.98. It brings added functionality to the app. And I actually have the pro version, but I'll kind of give you a little indication as far as what each version does for the most part. So here is my phone that will not crash today, I hope. So I'm going to go ahead and launch it. Titanium Backup. And here we go. So Titanium Backup is for Root because it actually gives you further access into the file system of your Android phone. Access that if you don't have Root, you don't necessarily have the or an app doesn't have the ability to kind of get in there and back up everything. This app can. It's a total backup utility. It does apps. It does app data. It does system data. It can do all that stuff. You can wipe. You can restore. You can uninstall just apps. You can do all that stuff for just app data, just system data, or any combination in between. It allows you to do compression on your backups so that it can take up less space, which is nice. One really cool feature is that you can do scheduling of apps. So what you could do, and I actually never did this, but this is a really touted feature and a lot of people love to do this, is you can set up different app or different backups to occur at different times, and you can give it different rules. So I could say backup, you know, my system every morning at 2 a.m., you know, when I'm asleep or whatever, every morning at 2 a.m., have it overwrite all of my, all of my previous backups, except maybe you want to keep, multiple copies of a particular app's data or of your system data or whatever. So you could set those to backup up to 3, you know, in the history, if that makes sense. You can basically have a history of your backups as well and do that selectively based on the jobs that you're running. You can actually use this to remove bloatware. Oh, I just totally backed out. Bloatware or apps that you don't want. You could also just freeze them and hide them. So if you don't want to remove them entirely from the phone, you can just freeze them and hide them. The thing about Titanium Backup is that there's a lot of stuff kind of buried within here. And let's see here. I'll just go to batch. Batch is kind of the area that I used the most on this old phone. And essentially all of these different batch jobs, I mean, there's just a ton of them. Backup all your user apps, backup all your system data, combination, like I said, of all of those. You can restore everything, or you can restore
store selectively, move your user apps to the SD card. You can do SD card moves here, whether the app has said that you can or not. You can move any app to the SD if you choose. Move user apps to your internal memory. Save the apps into ROM. I don't know why I would use that. This little freeze defrost area is where you can kind of choose to selectively freeze and hide certain apps that you just really don't want to see. So like on my Thunderbolt, that's one thing that I had to get used to. It's not a stock experience. It's HTC Sense. There's a whole lot of crapware in there. Luckily, with Launcher Pro, I can hide things from view so that I don't see all that stuff. But this is like taking it a step further. This is actually removing it so it doesn't take up space on your phone. And you can also do that with system apps. One thing that I use this for on this phone particularly is I was not a fan of the stock car home app when you put your phone into the car dock. I wanted to use something different. And every time I tried to do it, even though I was setting defaults to launch the other one and not, you know, the car home app, it would still ask me. And this allowed me to actually remove the car home app entirely. So it just never got confused on it. If I wanted to restore it later, I totally could. This app allows you to do that. You can just do, you know, your mundane things like uninstall a batch number of apps instead of doing them one by one. You can delete your backups, of course, to wipe them out. Though be careful if you do that because, you know, if something happens and you've deleted it, you can't restore it. It does so much stuff. It's hard to list them out and have it be thorough. The Pro version specifically allows you to do backup verification. It also allows you to sync to Dropbox, multiple backups per app, incremental backup, which basically means that the first backup is complete afterward. So basically the first backup that you do is an entire backup, and then afterwards it only auto backups apps that have changed in some way. So it doesn't do every single thing. It's smart enough to know whether it needs to do this app or that app. And the app freezer, I believe, is a Pro version as well. But as you can see, it's really, really thorough. If I have a backup of this app, I would just click that and get my options, which it's hard to see in the screen. But, you know, I can basically back it up, freeze it, uninstall it, wipe data, run the app, restore, and delete it. And that's for every single app on the phone. So that's my app. The Pro version is $5.98. I've used this app so many times that it is so incredibly worth it to me to have paid that, and I highly recommend it to you too. So if you've got a rooted phone, I'd be surprised if you don't already have this, but if you don't, you should get it because it's a really good backup app. And that's that. All right, Ron.
Cool, my turn.
I can breathe. Go.
So when looking at the whole world of backups and things like that, I wanted to take the approach kind of the exact opposite of yours, Jason, which is, okay, my phone isn't rooted. I want to get in the mindset of a normal user. Basically, I always think of, okay, what if my mom is using this phone and she wants to back up her data, that sort of thing. What is a kind of layman application? So I was looking around the marketplace, and I found one called My Backup, and it's by Rareware. And there's a free version in the marketplace, and there's a paid version. My Backup Pro for $4.99. There's a little asterisk to that, which I want to touch on real quickly. The free version is nice to give a feel for what the app can do, but it's a 30-day trial, and you can't back up more than 2 meg, and you can only restore to the same device. Like, there are all these restrictions around it. So what I would recommend is you try the free application if you want to get a feel for what it does, how it works, and then pony up the $5 if you feel as if you can commit to it. But I would not download this free version and think it's going to be a total backup solution. So that's important to note. That's a little gotcha that I would hate anybody to get into. But what's interesting about my Backup Pro is that it's dead simple. It's so easy. If you open up the application, you just instantly get this menu. Well, first you get to accept the EULA. And it's going to walk you through. You need to set up a password and set up an account and all that sort of stuff, which hit cancel, so maybe get around it for now. But basically what happens is that you've got two options. If you hit backup, it's going to say, okay, do you want to back up applications and data or applications and media or data? So we're going to choose applications and media for now. And then it's going to let you choose whether you want to back it up to your local SD card or onto the online service. So now the online service is My Backup Pro's own online service, and that password thing that we skipped over, that's what you use in order to access your data. You set up an account with them and you're saving it up to their kind of cloud-based service. Mm-hmm. So if you're sensitive about your data, or you're mistrustful, or you're not quite sure you want to upload it to somebody, even though they go through great lengths to tell you that it's secure, and it's your own password, and they give you a PIN and all that sort of stuff, be warned that you're uploading your data somewhere else. So if you're worried about that sort of thing, read the details, read the EULA, read all that sort of stuff. I vetted it out. It looks to be legit. This has been downloaded, what was it, in the marketplace? It says over 500,000 to 1,000,000 times. So it's not like this is some fly-by-night kind of operation, but known that if you are worried about your data being somewhere else, it's going to be up on their system. So think about that. But that said, if you are worried about that, you can back it up to your SD card, and then you can take that file and take it off the SD card, put it on your laptop, or put it on an external hard drive, put it in a safe place, put it on a USB key, hide it, bury it in the backyard. You can control it. but so once you choose it, for this case, we'll choose local. Just to keep it simple. And then when you choose applications and media, it gives you an option to whether you want to back up your apps or your photos.
Oh, yeah.
If you expand the apps menu, you get your whole list of applications. You could choose select them all, or you can just individually pick the ones that you want to back up, which is kind of neat because, you know, maybe I don't really care about backing up, cut the rope, but I really want to back up my email application or whatever it might be. The media side of things is a little more rough. It's a little bit of a misnomer when it says application and media, because the only media you can save are photos. So furthermore, when you go to select your photos, you can either select them all, or the browsing of the photos leaves a lot to be desired. Mm-hmm. It gives these, you know, the arcane file names that come with the camera apps, and every now and then it shows you a little icon size thumbnail, but I can't see half of those thumbnails. I don't know what the photos are. So really, if you're trying to individually pick the photos you're backing up, this isn't the app to go with. This is just a batch backup one.
Right.
But if you hit cancel and back out and go to backup and then go to data, this was kind of interesting. You can, again, select local, and then you can select the types of data that you want to back up. You can back up your contacts, your call log, your SMS or MMS messages, your settings, your dictionary, your calendar. And randomly every now and then, some applications tie into this. So, for example, I use AK Notepad, which is a Notepad app.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, AK Notepad appears in this list of what can be backed up. So what's curious is that what does it take for one app to say, yes, back up my data versus another app which is not available? For example, if I wanted to back up my tweets versus I want to back up the Twitter data I have, I can't with this application. So it's kind of interesting to see what they're using to figure out to say, okay, this application can have data that can be backed up versus this one can't. But that said, if you're just looking for a way to back up your contacts or your text messages or anything like that, you select what you want, hit OK, and it saves the file out to the SD card, and then there you go. So pretty simple. Again, I think this is more for the layman or the novice. You need to actually have backups before you do anything else with it.
Yeah,
but once you back it up, you can easily restore stuff. You can manage it in regards where you can see what's in each backup. You can view what's in it. And what's also kind of neat is you can set a schedule. So you can say, hey, listen, every Friday at noon, back up my call log. Or you can schedule pretty much anything in the app that I can do. You can schedule the backup of it. So
awesome. Love the
schedule. So it's a neat little app. But just be warned that the free version isn't completely an unlocked version. They're definitely trying to tilt you towards the $4.99 version. And what's interesting, which I didn't play with, is that they do have a root version called My Backup Root that is also free, which I'm not quite sure what the difference is with that because I don't have a root version. So maybe Jason can look at it. But for this purposes, this is a very highly rated app. It's a 4.3 in the marketplace. It seems to be legit. It seems to be cool. Again, for the more non-rooted, non-techie, you know, I want to get in and save every aspect of my phone. It's just the basics kind of, I'm going to back up my apps, back up my photos, back up my contacts, that sort of thing.
So. Nice. Yeah, the root version looks like it does, you know, a lot of the same stuff as Titanium, including backup of the APK files and data and market links that are associated with the apps.
Yep.
This seems like a kind of a competitor to the Titanium backup as far as feature set. So if you like the approach of My Backup Pro, this and you are root, this might be the way to go as well. Well, fantastic. That is
my backup, so give it a shot. I like Eileen, I don't use any backup applications, so this is a bit of an adventure for me. So I'm gonna try using my backup, and I'm gonna upgrade to the Pro and see how it goes.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I'm happy that at least through doing this exercise, you know, more of us are backing up, and I hope that the listeners and the viewers start backing up as well, because nothing sucks worse than losing stuff because you didn't back it up. That's one way to learn to start backing up. Yes. By the way,
and you want to avoid that. You don't want to be in the situation where I didn't back up and I lost everything, and now I need to start. There's nothing worse than that. So be proactive. It's
start my game over again.
Oh well. It's a game. It's a game, and you know, not some like crazy, you know, text message that has, you know, of life.
Yeah, the information that, you know, you got duped from a service provider and you'd like to. Yeah. Sorry. I went back to that.
All right. So it's time for you to vote on your favorite backup solution from this episode. So we have Sprite backup, Titanium backup, and my backup. You can do that by voting at poll.cm/2028. poll.cm/2028. And let us know.
There was a few other... I made a call out to other people on Twitter and to see what their suggestions were for backup. And boy, you guys, awesome. I love the feedback. Kevin Purdy said Nandroid. You know about that one too, right?
Yeah, Nandroid is if you have a rooted phone and you get into your clock, I believe it's Clockwork Recovery. Nandroid is like basically take an image of my phone and save it to a file. So at this particular moment, my phone state in its entirety is saved. And if I ever, you know, my phone, I destroy it somehow, or I brick it or whatever, I can go back in an Android and flash that backup, and it's right back where it was at that point. Oh. So it's really powerful. Really good.
Yeah. And I guess there were a few others from @RealDude. Every time I install or update a new ROM, I back up with ROM Manager. Mm-hmm. And Hot Milk GT, Tony Wang, says, I back up via Google for the contacts, USB to laptop for photos. So there's many different ways that you can. I heard about Astro Manager. I mean, it just goes on and on. And it depends on what you want to back up if you're not doing a full phone backup. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Many, many different ways. I think overwhelmingly, though, it was funny that I felt like most people who responded to me had rooted phones and used Titanium. That would be I would say 80% replies.
It's a really powerful app. But, yeah. I mean, not everybody's going to root just to have that kind of control, you know?
I had to go back and say, now, if you don't have a rooted phone, what do you use? And then I got different. That's where I got the really varying
Lookout
responses.
Is one, right?
Lookout is one. It backs up your photos and contacts, and then a few other things, and then not necessarily applications, I don't remember. And you have to have the pro version for some of the more deep-seated backups. And then there's also Remote Wipe. I think of that almost more as security. It also detects any malware that you may be downloading. I actually have the free version on my phone. Once we get to security, that's the app I'm going to
talk about. Yeah. That's the one I always hear about is Lookout for security. Awesome. Anyways, it sounds like it does just a bunch of different stuff. Cool. Well, let's take one last email. Okay. Well, actually, before we do that, let's just announce next week, because we always mean to announce it. We never do. Twitter clients. So we're doing Twitter. We did it in the beta episodes, but we haven't done it on the real show. So we're going to go ahead and do that next week, which actually we should also mention right now. Next week is actually this upcoming Friday. What is it? The 1st?
Yeah.
The 4th is a holiday. So.
Yes. In the United States, we are celebrating our Independence Day on next Monday, July the 4th. So we're going to do our show early. Only 5 days from now.
That's right. This upcoming Friday, 5 p.m.-ish Pacific, live.twit.tv if you want to check it out live. And I'll be publishing it to the feed that night, so you're gonna get it a little early and you won't get something the following Monday, so keep that
double the Android magic for your holiday weekend in the
double
US.
down your holiday, there we go.
All right, well, we got another email. Eileen, go for it. I think this is backup related too.
Yes, this is from Casey, who was listening to episode 12, and at the end Kevin Purdy was giving advice on ways to free up internal memory on the phone. Now Casey uses apps 2SD and periodically uses the clear cache feature. One thing he didn't mention that I found out helped get my original Moto Droid moving a little quicker was cleaning my call log and old text. I haven't really done that myself. After almost 2 years of having the Droid, I had racked up quite a backlog of old text. Since I didn't want to delete them forever, a friend of mine recommended an app called SMS Backup Plus. I created a Gmail account called... Should I say... Shoot. or something like that and set up the app. I don't know if I should say
That's fine. Yeah.
And so she just created a Gmail account for it, something like that, and set up the app. Jason, you can probably edit that for the download. It takes a few minutes to back up all the texts and call log, and they are stored in a Gmail account. Ron, don't laugh anymore. So I can access all my old texts from any computer for reference. The best thing is that it automatically threads conversations with a person, so all my texts with my mom, for example, show up in one long threaded email. I'm so sorry, Casey, nice. If I screwed things up. Once I had that all backed up, I cleared out my messaging app and rebooted my phone. I found it made a surprising amount of difference in speeding up my Moto Droid's responsiveness. Just thought I'd share. Keep up the good work, guys. I'm so sorry, Casey. I don't know if that's going to mess up your...
A little bit of overshare there in the email.
I'm so sorry. You know, we're going to read this. Don't give us your information.
He or she overshared in their email. That's all. I'm sorry. I interrupted you with that.
No. It's fine.
No one else will hear it. I'll bleep it out. So it's all good. It's all good.
But that's everybody a really cool. good tip, yeah. honestly. If you're Absolutely. Looking for more speed, I didn't even think about texts and messaging and whatnot. So
absolutely,
that
all
to help.
That data just bogs the phone down Bye-bye. For sure.
There's a good chance that that the example of the Gmail account, because it's followed by or something like that.
There's a good chance she gave me a fake one. Good. Yeah. Then maybe
but it's
I
not
didn't.
Entirely clear.
It's not. We're not entirely clear, so we'll need to.
Dude. Oh. Another LOL moment.
That's all right. Oh, that's boy. All right. Cool. Well, I think, is that it?
I think we're done.
Yeah, that's it. All right, cool. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed all this talk. This is a lot about backups today. My gosh, we got a lot of backup apps.
Yeah, let us know.
Hopefully you can follow all of those.
I know.
It was more than just three.
I got a ton of information on Twitter from everybody. So, you got to do what you got to do for what's right for you.
Listen, you just got to do what you got to do, and whatever, I respect it, and it's totally cool.
We won't judge you based on the backup app that you use.
We're here in San Francisco. We're open-minded. It's all cool. Just do what you
Please
gotta
don't
do.
Judge me for my backup app.
Maybe that should judge. Be the title. Yeah. Ron, how can people find you?
People can go to find me on Twitter, twitter.com/RonXO. And if you look there in my bio, there's a link to my About Me page, which is about.me/RonXO. You can find all the links to iFanboy and Graphically and all my other projects, things like that there. So check them all out.
Awesome. And how about you, Eileen?
Oh, I'm always on Twitter at EileenTV.
Yeah, you're addicted to Twitter. You're
I love
always
Twitter.
On it.
I love the Twitter. I don't love the Facebook, but I love the Twitter.
And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Raygun01. So, once again, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you this upcoming Friday. You can check it out at live.twit.tv at 5 p.m. Pacific. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Android Show, and find the show notes, twit.tv/AAA. Thanks again for tuning in, you guys. We'll see you this upcoming Friday. Bye. We'll be right back.